Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. It's the Mac Show. Yes, we're here for another week of discussion about the week in Apple. What's gone on? What's the to? What's the fro? It's a fantastic episode for us because you are looking at us through glorious Mac Pro Vision. This Mac Pro Vision is provided by Screencast Online, thanks to the wonderful St. Don McAllister.
Is that my new nickname from now on?
Did I hear angels then?
Yeah.
Don, I just want to say thank you. And I can't, I thought about trying to think of something nice to say other than that, but it just comes out. Thank you.
Yeah, that's good. Good. No, I'm glad it's gone to a good home because it's stood me well over the past couple of years. But no, it's good. Good that we can use it, make use of it.
Mate, for the first time in a year and a half, I've managed to get into the Mac App Store and download legit versions of software. Not that I didn't before, you understand.
No. But do people realise you were actually working on a Hackintosh? We were quite a powerful Hackintosh, but still it was a Hackintosh.
It flew. So. I mean, it absolutely flew. But I'm turning it into a Windows gaming machine now. I'm just going to play some PC games on it. But thank you, Don, publicly, for what's been awesome, incredible, huge change to us.
Good.
And it runs. You know, last night I had a little go with the laptop trying to get everything to work, and it just went horrific. But today I've done Photoshop on it, seemed to work okay.
Yeah,
and we're on now with Mac Pro. So this show will be sponsored by Screencast Online for the foreseeable future. Go buy it. If you're not a member, you damn well should be. If you listen to this, you owe Don, all right? The Week in Apple, joined by a wonderful panel, Don McAllister, as I say, St. Don of Calcutta, who is our benefactor. Your office is huge, dude. You're now we're on a different camera. You look like you're snuggled up in a little corner, and you've got an enormous space there.
Yeah, no, there is a big space. I've got the table behind, which I use some. Oh, it's a bit of a stand up desk, and I've been using it this morning to do some recording as well, some other kit. And it looks there's holes, loads of boxes in that corner which you can't see, but yeah, it's a fairly big room.
Now, talking of that recording that you've been doing this morning for an upcoming show, you've got a top safety tip for us, haven't you?
Well, obviously it's Mountain Lion next week, so I normally do an install Mountain Lion show, and I normally wait till it's released, but we've got the GMC, and I thought, well, I may as well get it done in advance, and so that when it, you know, on the day they release Mountain Lion, I should, in theory, be able to release the show. So what I decided to do is to try and record the Mountain Lion install show, and I always show people, like, you know, the standard install, the upgrade, just using the installation package from the Mac App Store. And then I also like to show people how you can actually do a fresh install, because, you know, a lot of people like to do blitz the machine completely and do a fresh install. So I recorded the intro, you know, probably the first 7 or 8 minutes of the screencast on the machine, talking about it, going through all the different options, etc. And then took the machine, put it on my desk behind me, and started to show, did the upgrade. And then after the upgrade, I created a USB stick to do a fresh install. And then I did a fresh install, and I came back to my desk, ready to edit, and realised that I'd actually recorded the first 10 minutes worth of stuff on the machine that I'd just done the fresh install on and forgot to back in it. So a bit of a schoolboy error, that, really. It's the first time I've screwed up that. You know,
Spot on, mate. Well done.
So there we go.
Next to him, DHM, fresh from the captain's ready room.
Yes. He's now on Twitter.
He's on Twitter. This is a confirmation that Jean-Luc Picard, a.k.a. Sir Patrick Stewart, is definitely on Twitter as?
Sir Pat Stew.
Sir Pat Stew. Did you sign him up, or did he do it of his own free will?
No, his PR agency did it for him.
Oh, and he's not actually sending the tweets out then?
No, he is. Actually, it's his job to send the tweets out. He did say he wouldn't be the world's most prolific tweeter, but it is him. Seems the account seems to be locked at the moment. I don't know what the PR agency are doing. Yeah. Verified at Twitter as a verified tweeterer.
The only thing I can say is before it got locked, I followed him and I was his first follower.
What I think is odd is it says the name is Pat Stew instead of Patrick Stewart.
I know.
Who's going to find Pat Stew? I don't want a Pat Stew.
Is that to do with
Jean-Luc Picard?
A cow Pat Stew.
There is already a Jean-Luc Picard's already taken bizarrely.
Oh, bugger, that's not fair.
Yeah, but no, hopefully it'll be interesting. We'll see how we go with that. he wondered how people would find him on Twitter and how he'd get followers, and I pointed out that probably wasn't going to be a problem.
I might suggest boring, but there we go. Beneath DHM, we've got Chris Forsman from Ars Technica. How are you doing, Soshoing?
I'm a little sleepy this morning and dealing with some teen angst, but otherwise things are going okay.
Have you got? Have you had to get rid of the Retina MacBook Pro yet?
No. Let's see if I can give you a look. I'm actually running Windows on it now. You can see it over there in the corner.
Oh man, you are the Antichrist.
Thanks. We've done a bunch of tests and different things with it. And we still have it, so we thought, why not throw some boot camp on there and maybe some parallels and just see what it's like. So it's interesting.
Thank you, sir. And finally, from British Mac, with some friends, Mr. Will Green.
Hello, chap.
And how are you doing, sir?
I'm very well.
You have Mork and Mindy at your special request today because?
I don't really know. Let's be honest, who doesn't fancy Mindy? I mean, she's lovely, isn't she?
Look at that. Absolutely. She's a divine angel.
Yeah.
She's probably about 90 now, though.
I wonder how old she is. So, what was it, like mid-70s, and she would be about 25, 26, something like that?
She's got to be into her 60s and early, maybe up to 70s.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose so. Great show. Anyway, there it is.
Fantastic show. Well done. Mm. And the chat room are agreeing as well, because I got a quick shuffle of it before we started. So thank you to them. Good week, mate. You've been busy, haven't you?
Oh, nonstop. I don't like it. I don't like it. It's busyness.
You're the only self-employed person I know that hates working.
Oh, well, I mean, it's just too much, isn't it, really? Mm-hmm. So I've got all these sort of London types on at me day in, day out, all this pressure and so forth. And I sit here in my little studio sort of banging away at the old computer, and I find it. But it's getting in there. It's really looking good what I'm up to, even though I say it myself.
Jolly good.
Good, isn't it?
We've had some reviews. Thank you very much to those people that have bothered to send reviews. It makes an enormous difference to us in iTunes. Please carry on sending them in. We love them to bits. First one from Paul Fowler. I love listening to the Mac Show podcast. It's basically five men talking about Mac geekery, often with some technical issues from Ewan. None worse than last night. And then some ramblings from Will Green, who sounds like he's been talking on another podcast and the audio from that has been corrupted and accidentally laid over on this podcast. It's a great listen, though, and it always puts a smile on my face. There we go. Nicholas Lambert's put one in as well. Listen to a lot of Mac and technology-related podcasts on my daily travels. I've done for the past 3-4 years. They're good, but only seem to be good for getting the weekly information and stories I want on an audio version. This, however, has got me hooked and waiting like a puppy for a treat every week when a new episode comes out. Great source of the stories and information. I want to get friendly hosting and great guests. Makes this a pleasure to listen to. Please keep this going forever, as you have a fan for life. There you go. Thank you very much for that, Nick. Bramix has sent one as well. Can't be beaten for general information and opinions on Apple products. If you've got a review for us, we do appreciate it, and they make an enormous difference in iTunes. So please, please, please submit one, and thank you very much. We'll read them out.
You know what the impression I'm getting?
What's the impression you're getting, Will?
This is like the last of the summer wine sort of Mac show, isn't it? Yeah.
Who's compo?
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't know what to say, but you sort of do get that impression.
You really haven't figured it out, Will.
Look at
the screen right now. There we go.
I can see the lovely Mindy.
Yeah, but that's compo as well. I don't want
to. Balls.
Who's foggy? Donnie's foggy, says Tony in the chat room.
Actually, I've met up with some of my old schoolmates, and we go out for a pint every couple of every couple of months. And I think we're the last of the summer winers, we call ourselves now. Yeah, so.
Winers, as in WHINER, yeah.
No, winos.
Winos, right? Got you. the week in Mac. It's been an interesting week.
It hasn't.
I'm not doing that. I got told off for doing that. Leave me alone. Mountain Lion. Mountain Lion is definitely coming. It's definitely going to be here, allegedly, on, they're saying the 25th.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Why the 25th? Is it, what day of the week's that? Because I'm
it's Wednesday.
Is it a magic Wednesday? Apple Wednesday?
It's the day right after their fourth, or what quarter are they on? Third quarter announcements?
Ah, so they're going to say, we're doing really fantastic. And by the way, here's a brand new product that's going to sell like hotcakes.
Well, they did that last year. They announced Lion straight after. Well, they actually announced it was being released as part of the earnings call. So we're assuming it's going to be, because let's face it, it's nearly the last week in July, so they've got to get it out this week, or next week rather. So that seems favourable.
Are we excited? I mean, most of you have probably had the Golden Master already, haven't you? I mean, Don, you certainly have.
Yeah, I've installed it. I've actually installed it on my main machine now as the main OS, and it's fine. I've not had any major issues with it. Well, my webcam going green before, but I don't know if that's related to Mountain Lion. It was didn't happen like that last week. But no, it's been great. Yeah.
Anyone else had a play with the Golden Master? No? Chris, nope. I thought you might have.
No, not yet.
You're not a dev?
No.
The thing with the Golden Master, though, is it's normally the actual final version. Again, they did this to us last year. You know, they sent out the GM about 2 or 3 weeks in advance, really for developers to test their applications and get new applications into the Mac App Store. And when the final release version came out, it was actually the same version. So,
now, I mean, it, who's going to go over to it straight away on their main machine? Don, you say you're already running it on the production machine?
Yes, to my chagrin. Well, obviously, I've kept a backup and everything. I really wanted to test it, and I installed it on a second partition for a while and just used that. But to really get to grips with it, because I'm in the middle of producing shows to, you know, explain how it works to people, I really need to use it on a daily basis. So I went for it, and it's been fine. It's been great.
Yeah,
nothing's broken.
Will, are you going to go to Mountain Lion as soon as it comes out?
Straight away.
Really? You're pulling my plonker, mate. There's no,
I'm not, because Lion for me has been a complete dog. Well, it's
Lion's been your Vista, really, isn't it?
Oh, it's been a nightmare. I'm sure it's a conflict hardware problem. And so I'm hoping that the problems I've experienced with mine's an early 2011 MacBook Pro is my main machine, and it's been a complete bloody nightmare.
Even with fresh install?
Yeah, even with fresh install, everything. And if you look on the internet, a lot of other people have had exactly the same problem. It seems to be a graphics problem, because the MacBook Pro has got two graphics cards, and it seems to be rooted in that's causing the headaches, and it can be a complete bloody nightmare. So I'm looking forward to Mountain Lion. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited.
Really?
Yeah, I am. See, right.
So next... If it's out in time for the, and you've got it installed in time for the show on the 27th, then what do we all think? Is Will going to be happy, or is Will going to be a bad man? A sad bad man?
Oh, I'll be all right.
Okay.
Good. I mean,
huzzah. I'm happy for you, Will. I really am.
I'm still, my main side of things is Snow Leopard, because I know it's solid, it's fast, it works really well. So I know there's nothing wrong with my computer. It's something wrong with the Lion kernel extensions, I reckon.
I just find it difficult to believe that because your MacBook Pro would have come out literally 2 or 3 months before Lion hit. So
that's right.
But you're saying there's a lot of people saying that there was an issue.
Yeah, it seems to be a graphics card issue. When you boot up, for instance, you know, you get the login icons, the pictures of whatever you want to choose. Mine are all low res. They're all like sort of 8-bit blocky, horrible things. Just continual problems, crashes. It'll just kernel panic for no reason. When you want to, you know, when your battery runs out and you want to restart it, it'll take. I can be waiting 10 minutes for it to become responsive, and if you put Blooming Final Cut and Aperture and at the same time, well, you may as well forget about it. Yeah. Pile of poo.
Right. Sorted then. $20. Good price. Five iterations of it. I mean, one of the beautiful things, you're going to be proud of me now, fellas, because having talked to Dr. Happy Mac about it a while ago, I decided last night, I came home late from work because I'd had an issue. I ran in and started the Big Show. And afterwards, I thought, I want to put Lion, but I needed to go and get a thumb drive because I haven't got an 8 gig thumb drive. I've only got 4 gigs kicking around. And I thought, no, come on, you can do it. Target disk mode. And I installed Lion in target disk mode.
Wow.
Ta-da!
Yeah, but I'm a numpty. I'm a geek photographer, not a geek Mac user. But I did it. I did target disk mode, thanks to Dr. Happy Mac. And I did.
Bravo.
I toyed for a second with, I wonder if there's a screencast online for doing it in target disk mode. But it actually went so smoothly that I didn't need to.
Yeah. Actually, you can do, if you've got two Thunderbolt machines now, because it's normally FireWire target disk mode, but there's actually Thunderbolt target disk mode now. So if you have two Thunderbolt machines, you can actually do the same across Thunderbolt.
No, I did it in, I've got to do it in FireWire. I had no choice. Obviously.
If only we knew somebody with a whole room full of Thunderbolt machines.
Yeah, only got two. One of them is
mine. Now you've given me the Mac Pro, Don. What is stopping that table from wobbling?
Which table?
the one that it was supporting.
Oh no! I've got loads of leg room now. I can sort of stretch my legs out under the table. It's great.
Oh, I can't, but I don't care.
I mean, talking about $20 for Mountain Lion. And whatever it was, £23 for Lion and £26 for Snow Leopard. I spent the thick end of this week casting around trying to find a copy of Tiger and Leopard. And it's like, going on to eBay, used retail DVD of Leopard. People want over £100 for it.
You're having a laugh.
No.
You should have said, I wish I'd have seen that tweet, because I've got... was it Panther?
Yeah,
I got Panther and I got Leopard.
All right, I just needed for a friend's bought his daughter's iBooks round and he wanted to do a clean install and I just thought, oh yeah, I'll sort that out. And then of course I looked at them and then I went, oh god, yeah, I need Leopard and I haven't.
Are you still short for it then?
I'm still short a retail DVD of Leopard and I'm not paying £100 for a 10-year-old operating system.
I, however, won't be letting you have it unsupervised if I have got one now. I know it's £100 worth.
Oh.
I'll be driving it down. You can use it and then I'll bring it home.
Yeah, but you can make 10 copies with your DVD thing. Put them on. That's £1,000.
I hadn't thought of that.
And you'd need never work again.
I've got to say, because I've got an old, behind here, I've got an old iMac, the Sunflower iMac, and I've put Leopard on it, and it's crap. It really struggles running it. So I'm going to, I need to find out my Panther discs and put Panther on it, because I think Panther would run really sweet on it.
Tiger. You want Tiger?
Tiger. No, I want Panther. Was it Panther?
Panther's 10.3, Panther.
Oh, right, no, it wasn't Panther.
10.3 was good.
It was Tiger then, yeah.
Yeah, 10.3 doesn't work, because Safari's on it's too old, and it keeps crashing out all the time, so you need to be on 10.4. for anything to happen.
Is this the last iteration then? Going back to Lion, Mountain Lion, is this the last iteration of Mountain Lion, do we think? The last iteration of the big cats, you know, the 10 series. Are we going to go to 11 next? Or are we going to go through the full points?
I bloody hope so, don't you? I mean, God, it's getting a bit gutty, isn't it?
Manky Moggy's the next one.
I'm on my own. I struggle to remember all the names of the cats, though. Ridiculous.
Well, there you go. I've just got it wrong, so yeah. New version of iLife and iWork next week, says Jimmy the Greek in the chat room. What do we think?
Yes, please.
We don't want about your lustings, Don. We just want to know whether you think we're going to get any or not.
Well, we might even see some new kits. I mean, we might see some new Mac Minis, I think, as well. Because last year, it wasn't just... people were saying, oh, well, we might get some new kit. And I was saying, no, they're going to launch Lion. That's a huge launch. You'll never, we won't see. And I think they brought out the new MacBook Airs and stuff on the same day as Lion last year. So I've got a feeling in my bones. I think Mac Minis are well due for a refresh. Perhaps not the iMacs, because I think they might still wait until, you know, the autumn for the iMacs. But Mac Minis are well overdue. And I'd like to see some Mac Minis with Thunderbolt and the new processors, etc. Good.
I mean, Is there an announcement or not? Is there a scheduled announcement?
No. We're still waiting on the date, but
no party.
Hopefully they'll just announce it in the earnings call.
Tim in the chat room definitely wants iMacs, but I don't think he's going to get them. I think that's October as well. Mac Minis. I mean, Don, you're counting on the Mac Mini getting a graphics bump and an i7 processor, and that's going to be your main machine, from what you were saying before.
Well, I've got the Mac Pro, the MacBook Pro now, so that's going to be the main machine. But I've got in the rack, I've got a couple of older Mac Minis, but I could really do with one with Thunderbolt. I know you can get them with Thunderbolt now, but I'd like the new processor rather than just get one of the old ones.
Yeah,
so
there's no point in moving now.
they should do it through the keel at Don McAllister's place. I reckon we'd all guess it, wouldn't we?
You'd know who he was instantly, wouldn't you?
Wouldn't you?
Once you tripped over the first Mac in the doorway.
Honestly, it's not that bad now. It used to be worse. I've got rid of a few now. So.
Used to be worse.
Mind you, I've got an old Mac Pro and the old PowerPC one, which I don't know what to do with, so that's switched off. I've got an old 17-inch MacBook Pro, but that's the very first Intel one, so you can't really run anything on that. And I've got one of the old white polycarbonate MacBooks, and that's not too bad, actually. Mm-hmm. So they're sort of sitting, languishing, switched off in the corner somewhere. It's a shame.
Instead of find my iPhone or find my MacBook, you've got find me a job I can do. Gordy in the chat room saying I work something he wants, and he wants to think about the cloud. If we're actually saying now, because Mountain Lion is kind of the final piece in the puzzle as far as iCloud's supposed to be concerned, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So it would stand to reason that iWork would probably be a better bet than iLife for an upgrade next week. Because that puzzle's ready to go. So mm-hmm. and iWork's due. So we're getting it. We're definitely getting it.
Yeah, I would think. Well, we've got the full iCloud support on iOS. You know, so if you have iWork, so if you have Pages, or if you have Keynote on your iPhone and also on your iPad, you know, you can save documents into the cloud and they'll appear on both machines. And mm-hmm. it's such a huge gap that it doesn't work on the Mac. And Mountain Lion is the release when you know it's fully baked into the operating system. So you know we should see that. It'd be a no-brainer, I think, for them to bring iWork out.
Mm. Good one.
The most exciting part of it for me is the mirroring coming to the Mac.
Yeah, so whatever you're using on your iOS device, you can mirror onto Reflections out of business if it works.
Well, you can actually mirror from your Mac to an AirPort display to an AirPlay device. So you can actually sort of broadcast your Mac desktop to your TV through Apple TV now.
That's good.
Yeah. And for schools in particular, if they put a Mac Mini next to their projector, connect to their projector, the stuff that the teacher's doing on
AirPlay
the
support, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, wired thing's always been a pain in the bum, isn't it? So it's going to be great for like presentations, keynote presentations and stuff like that, where you've had to have this.
Well, your range is going to be pretty good there as well, though, isn't it? If it's Wi-Fi based, it's both devices are tied to the Wi-Fi. So if you're a big auditorium or something like that, and they've got an AirPlay enabled projector with an Apple TV on it, you're absolutely laughing. You sit anywhere you like in the crowd, and you've got instant connectivity. It could be. See a lot of magic tricks come out on Derren Brown or something at the start.
I've got a VGA connector here. That's I don't know. It's about 15 meters long, ridiculous thing.
Yep.
And I have to plug that into the side of my Mac when I'm doing presentations and stuff like that. All right, pain in the bum.
And you're tied to that cable.
You're tied to the cable. So, yeah, so when it comes to this wireless thing, I think it's going to be great.
Excellent.
Sorry for woofing in the middle of that. I couldn't help myself.
That's all right, mate. I understand. Now, while we're talking about schools as well, we've got, we're a month away from return to school, September. Mm-hmm. So what's the big, there's bound to be something at early September, 6th, 9th September, something like that. There's going to be an event. What's going to be in that event?
I don't see there being an event in September.
It's always the iPod event, isn't it, September?
It's October.
Oh, don't get picky with me, man. It was... Once the leaves turn brown, mate, it's September or October. That's good enough for me.
Okay, fair enough.
on the note, yeah. Hang on, I'll cut that bit out and we'll go back and we'll re-edit it. Just a second. So, while we're talking about schools then, September, October, that kind of thing, what's coming? You picky bastards. Come on, Forsman.
Well, obviously, there's the typical fall event where they talk about new iPod hardware, and last year that's when Apple released the iPhone 4S what little information we have now suggests that that'll also be when the, you know, the next iteration of the iPhone hardware will also be announced.
So it's iPhone hardware in October, September.
They don't normally have a special event for the going back to school stuff, do they? I don't think.
Well, no, they haven't.
There's always been an iPod event, hasn't there? That's the thing. That period has always been about the music. That early autumn period has always been about the music. And what are they going to do with iPod? Because there is nothing they can do with iPod to make it any better than it currently is, surely.
Yeah.
They're never going to put a touchscreen on an iPod Touch and start putting iOS games on it. Not an iPod Touch, on an iPad Nano and start putting iOS games on it, because it's too small for physically playing, isn't it? So... I can't. Seven-inch. Yeah. No, not doing seven-inch iPad.
It's a really interesting question, because you know they've kept the iPod Classic has not been changed in like 3 years, I think.
Is that still spinning?
Yeah,
that's still a spinning drive at 160, isn't it? Yeah,
right.
Hang on a bit. The Nano has got a touchscreen.
No, it has got a touchscreen, but you don't play iOS games on it, as in. You know, you can't play stick cricket on a Nano, and they're never going to make that because the screen's too small. What's the point? You could elongate the iPod Touch. You could take it 7-inch, but you could go to a 5-inch so that it's a bit more PMP-like, and that would be it. But there's nothing else I can think of that they would do in the iPod range. It's almost like the iPod range is dead.
I interrupted Chris, and I don't want to interrupt you, but I've got a lot of opinions about the iPod Nano.
Well, let's hear them.
Let's hear them. Go.
Right.
That's what we're here for.
I'm not sure that all of it's going to be able to be published, but go ahead.
It totally is. Look. Can you see that?
Mm-hmm.
This is my iPod Nano watch. Now, it's okay. It's okay, but imagine, I mean, the screen is pretty big, really. And if it had, if you could be able to zoom into various bits, it'd be great. So what I'm looking for... You know, what's that other? What the hell's going on?
That was like, it sounded like a spring being doined.
It did, didn't it?
Anyway, go on.
So what's that new watch? I can't remember. But the interfaces with your
the Pebbly thing.
Yeah, that's right. So I mean, that's the direction I think this should need to go into. I mean, if this had Wi-Fi and it could pick up email, even just in a small way, wonderful.
Even if you couldn't read it.
No, it's quite big, you'd be surprised. And also, Bluetooth. It's got no Bluetooth, so you can't connect Bluetooth headphones to it. So that's another thing. The next one, so it's like built almost as a watch, but it hasn't got a blooming speaker in it. So if you set an alarm for the morning, you have to have headphones connected to it to be able to listen to your alarm, which is a bit mad, isn't it?
Or plug it in a dock.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. The operating system itself isn't iOS. It's just a re-skinned original sort of iPod iOS doodah. So there's lots of opportunity. You can't play video on it. What's the point in that? I can't play video
on
my
2-inch square screen. What the friggin' hell are you going to play video on it for?
I tell you why, Rankin. I'll tell you why now for nothing. It's sometimes you like a film, but you want to listen to it as well. And I want to be able to put a film on here, even if I'm not watching the little screen. It would be nice to be able to put a film on there. And anyway,
you want to go down to your local cinema complex that's equipped with Bluetooth so that you put your earphones in and listen to the audio from this fantastic THX theatre in your iPod.
I don't know why I come on this show. My well-researched opinions are mocked. I'm just a poorly figure of fun. That's all I am. Not saying anything anymore. All right, go on. Come on,
we were enjoying that, Will.
Well, no, because all of those points were very valid, I thought.
Well, you're not hit with the kids, though, are you, mate?
I am.
No, you're not.
I'm 41, I'm down with the kids.
Right, because none of them wear watches, mate. You look at everyone that's got an iPod watch and they're over 30 and they're wannabes. The kids aren't wearing watches anymore. My son, we bought him a watch, right? We bought him a watch for his birthday and he said, thanks. I said, what's the matter, mate? He said, I wanted an iPhone.
The kids,
when someone says to them, what's the time? They want to pull an iPhone out and look at an iPhone for the time. They don't want to watch.
Yeah. See, the thing is, I mean, the iPod brand, Apple have sort of, they haven't given up on the iPod brand, but they're not really concentrating on it anymore. And all the sales of the iPods.
Sales are tanked.
But the reason they've tanked, it's because people are using their phones to play music. Now, the thing is, though, there's still always going to be a need for a small, you know, very portable music player that people, because, you know, if you're going out running or something, you don't necessarily always want to take your iPhone with you. So they'll still always have an iPod, but I think it's probably time. And again, we get around to the 7-inch tablet thing again. You know, is that going to take on the mantle of the iPod brand? Is that going to be the new media consumption device that they're going to use? And I could well see them rebranding, you know, bringing down the iPad mini out and calling it a big iPod or something and optimizing it for media playback, perhaps.
What I'm saying is, I'm not agreeing with a lot of the chat. I mean, I'm taking the mickey out of Greeny there, but he's absolutely right. You know, it could do with Bluetooth, and the physical form factors could change a little bit. You could get Bluetooth in it. It's chat room saying Siri, but I don't think that's going to happen. But the point is, those things could happen. Some of those things that Will was saying could happen. And you could go to a slightly bigger form factor on the iPod and say either at 5 or 7 inches. At what point does it become an event that's worth calling all the press out to the West Coast of America for, and them going and not walking out and thinking that they've wasted their plane fare and hotel fees? Because I've got to say, Bluetooth edition in the Nano is not going to be it. A 5-inch iPod Touch is not going to be it. A 7-inch iPod Touch that's a new mini pad, okay, maybe we're into it then. But I'm just sitting thinking, what's going to... is the iPod brand dead? Because I think it's pretty close to it. And if it's not, what are they going to do that's worth a plane fare and a hotel fare for you, Chris? This is the point.
Now, one of the problems is that they don't like to dilute the message, so that when there is an event in the autumn, you know, it will probably just be about the new phone, and they wouldn't want to dilute the message by introducing another product line or even a more thing and having it significant, because they want all the focus of that particular announcement to be about its principal element, which presumably in the autumn is going to be the iPhone.
I think one more thing's dead. That's nailed in Steve Jobs' coffin. No question. There'll never be another one more thing.
But this time, there was. But it was in the middle last time.
There was one more thing in the middle.
Yeah.
Have you turned into Will Green?
No. If you look back at the last keynote at WWDC, the one more thing was the MacBook, the new MacBook Pro, the Retina MacBook Pro, because they'd introduced a new line of MacBooks.
50 minutes before they finished.
And then one more thing in that section. So they've moved it to the middle, which was a masterstroke.
It is, absolutely, yes. I mean, that was camouflage, dude. No question. Mustang Mac's upset in the chat room because I've taken the piss out of his Nano watch. And he's also suggested that if they do have an iPod event this year and there's not enough going on, they could provide a free bar. Force me to go for that. Yeah, that's worth the play.
Now we're getting somewhere. No question.
Recycling of batteries. Now, I do like Ars Technica for when I want to have something that's a little bit more intense reading. If you just want the news, then you go for the cheap areas. But if you want a bit of an in-depth, then you go to Ars Technica, don't you, Chris? And Chris has written a hell of a piece, even with pictures, on stick-on batteries and how they're not as recyclable. Therefore, the green lobby is getting upset with Apple. Talk us through the story, Chris, about where it's come from and then why there is or isn't an issue.
Okay, so as probably a lot of our listeners, viewers, etc., have already heard.
Sorry about that.
It's all
right. Yeah. This isn't the Gong Show.
Well, listen, Forceman, you've got a dog who's about to bark. You're in no position to start throwing stones. Not at the man that's just given me a Mac Pro. I'll cut you off, dude.
So Apple came out with the Retina MacBook Pro, and they made it super thin. And one of the ways they did this was basically taking the battery cells and just gluing them to the underside of the
that doesn't sound good, unibody. Does it? Apple have started gluing products together.
Yeah, well, it's not. They didn't start. They've been doing it for a long time.
I know.
This is the first time they've glued in the battery And, you know, iFixit, of course, criticized it because they're, you know, they're focused on enabling people to repair their electronics and make them last longer. So, you know, these green electronics groups and stuff kind of latched onto this and were like, hey, this really sucks. They're making these computers. You can't repair them. You can't fix them yourself. Yada, yada. You know, of course, some longtime geeks also was very offended by this. And it turns out that Apple then decided to sort of, they felt like their design direction wasn't really being recognized enough by this EP group that rates green electronics. And it's a voluntary industry group. You know,
it's a bunch of do-gooders.
Yeah. But the whole idea behind it is that, you know, that they, the design standards, the criteria that they put, you know, encourage makers to make devices that are easier to recycle, you know, they're use less materials, etc. And so ever since this EP came out, all of Apple's computers have been rated EP Gold, which is their highest standard. You know, but then Apple's like, we're not going to do EP anymore because it doesn't really acknowledge all the other advances we've made. And then everybody complained because even though EP is a voluntary rating system, a lot of government and public institutions have a requirement that any computers they order have to be EP rated. So suddenly none of Apple's computers were EP rated, even though they had all been EP Gold. And it created this controversy. And then so Apple trotted out Rob Mansfield, who's about to quit, the head of hardware engineering. And he's like, oops, our bad. We made a mistake and we're going to work with EP and get back together. And so they put all their products back on. And then what was really surprising is
why is he leaving?
No, that's not why he's leaving. He had announced his retirement.
Righto.
Some time ago.
Okay.
You know, so he comes out, he's like, you know, oops, our bad. We're going to bring it back. And then one thing that was surprising, everybody noticed, is after they added all their products back, the Retina MacBook Pro, which had not been EP rated before, was now EP Gold. And, you know, so some critics of this pointed out that because the batteries are glued in, they're very difficult to take out without damaging them, which, you know, the fact that makes it hard to repair is kind of a separate issue, but the fact is it makes it difficult to separate the batteries for proper recycling techniques. So the requirement for EPEAT is that any hazardous materials, which lithium batteries are qualify as a hazardous material, have to be easily and safely removed from the rest of the materials before they're recycled. And these batteries get sent off to separate handlers that recycle the chemistry and recover the lithium and you know, use it to or have it sent to manufacturers that use to make more batteries. The problem is that these batteries, if they're punctured and there's any charge left in them, the lithium chemistry reacts with moisture in the air and it can explode or catch fire. So it's really important that
that's bad.
And we've heard stories of you know, iPods and iPhones and stuff, you know, catching fire and things like that. And it boils down to these batteries, something wrong with the battery. The chemistry reacts with air and it causes a burn or even an explosion. So it's a real problem. And the argument is that some of these activist groups are making that because it's so difficult to remove safely, that, you know, violates the EP standards that it be easily removed, these hazardous materials, and therefore the MacBook Pro, the Retina MacBook Pro, shouldn't get any EP rating of any kind, whether it's they have a bronze, silver, and a gold standard. It shouldn't get any EP rating because it's required that the hazardous materials be easy to remove. You know, we went and we talked to some recyclers, and they seem to disagree. You know, only one that we spoke to actually has handled any of the new MacBook Pros, and they say they can get it out, you know, using basically what's like a putty knife, like a scraper. You know, but we spoke to iFixit, and they pointed out that basically Apple's kind of like sculpted these little wells that are 2 millimeters deep, and the batteries fit down into them, so you can't just like scrape across and get it right out. You have to like dig in there. And that's where you run into the risk of popping that thing open. And
iBookery in the chat room says glue meet crowbar. That clearly wouldn't work then.
Right. And so, you know, there's the what EPEAT's going to do now is they've announced that they're going to look into devices with glued in batteries, and they're going to come up with some kind of recommendation standard for using adhesives, you know, going forward.
Great. Anyone else join that discussion?
I loved it. Every minute. Every minute.
Dude, that was so comprehensive. I have nothing to say.
This is it. I'm stunned.
I'd got an opinion, but now I haven't. I've got Chris's.
I thought you were going to finish with whatever. Moving on.
Yeah. That was comprehensive. I think that's the word. Comprehensive. Piper Jaffrey's done a study that 65% of phone owners plan to buy an iPhone next year. I've got to say, this is possibly one of the crappiest surveys I've ever seen in my entire life. Whoever Gene Munster is, he should go back to the big place where there's the tall fella that answers the door.
Gene Munster, he's the analyst who's heavy into the Apple TV, the real Apple TV. He's been touting it for years.
Well, I know it's not coming now, then definitely. They surveyed 400 respondents. 200 of 8 who had an iPhone, 104 who had an Android, 26 had a BlackBerry, and 10 had other smartphones. 51 had not a smartphone, and 1 had no smartphone at all. No phone at all, rather. Now, I reckon that this survey was conducted in a bar near Cupertino, because that's an awful lot on the iPhone to Android ratio based on 250 million iPhones sold since 2007 and Android activating 1 million Android phones a day. That can't be right, surely. Is your next iPhone
1 million a day?
They do a million a week, don't they? Or a million a day, 400,000 a day or something?
Do a lot.
It's a huge amount. Absolutely phenomenally huge amount. And I just thought, what a ridiculous survey that was. 400 people.
Yeah, at the very least, all the BlackBerry owners are going to need to be changing, aren't they?
Yeah, because there won't be an option there.
Because there won't be one for them. So they'll be switching to something else.
Well, that's good for you, though, DHM, yeah? Because all of those BlackBerry owners are going to go to iPhone, sure, according to that report.
Yeah, but I don't really get much to do with iPhones. I mean, the iPhone 4, Apple have got their replacement repair thing in place, £100, switch the phone out. Everything gets shipped back to China for recycling, so there's no... They are a bit of the first wave of the not for recycling or having anything to do with them other than if you're Apple yourself.
Hmm.
It's a bit like the Retina MacBook Pro. I don't think I'll ever get to see much of those because the recycling channel is already set up and it's basically, you know, drop it back in and it goes straight off to China.
Hmm. No, that's not what happens.
The Retina MacBook Pros, haven't Apple sorted out the recycling channels to send them back to
China? I'm going
to
say, I thought when you said it, I thought that was illegal. I didn't think you could do that.
It is illegal, for one, but Sims Recycling, another recycler we spoke to, they're the main contractor that handles Apple's electronics take back. So if you take back your Macs or any iDevices, they'll even take any competitor PC or smartphone. You take that to Apple, it goes to Sims Recycling, and it's handled here in the States.
Right, and you could, I know for a fact, DHM, in this country, you can't send stuff offshore to be done. It's got to be done in the receiving country. So,
well, that's certainly good then. I've obviously got the wrong end of that stick, and that sounds
just
a lot better.
You just got a vision of a beach somewhere in China with iPhones washed up against it, and people with welding torches cutting them in half, hadn't you?
Yes, they just ran the ship up onto the beach,
and there's like a bloke wearing a Steve Jobs mask with a whip going. Whoosh.
Yeah, now that's not to say that there aren't some recyclers that don't pull that stuff.
Don't think there's people out there with whips dressed as Steve Jobs, unless it's a fetish thing.
Yeah, that probably happens. I bet there's somewhere that's happening right now.
That's a bad thought.
So yeah. There's 7 billion people in the world. That's happening somewhere. I'm going to bet money on it.
Whip me, Steve. Whip me.
I've got blow-up versions of Johnny and Steve doing it right here.
No, you have not. You left yours here, sunshine.
I did, didn't I? I'm
you
sorry.
Did, you ungrateful bastard. Do you know the one thing that galled me about that was you didn't take the mask. Leaving the doll, taking a blow-up doll on public transport, there's repercussions. I grant you. But not taking the picture. Do you know how long it took me to take the head off one Jonathan Ive picture to put it onto the one with him sticking his tongue out and to make it look seamless? There, I mean, you cannot see a join there, mate. That is the best piece of frigging Photoshop you'll ever see in your life.
Hang on a bit.
And you didn't take it.
What, you photoshopped his face?
No, I got a picture of him with his tongue out, but the head was cut off right here above the eyes, and I got another head from another Jonathan Ive picture, and I grafted it on the top, and I equalised it for tone and texture, and you can't see a line, mate.
But why? Why did you do that? Why didn't you leave his original head?
Because I really frigging love you. I wanted when you're snogging your blow-up doll, I wanted the whole face and head on there, not just cut off top of his head.
So in the original photo, the top of his head was missing?
On the one with him with his tongue out, yeah, because I thought you'd like the tongue out.
Oh, yeah.
And I grafted a new top of the head on, and it was seamless, mate, and you didn't take it.
I do like the tongue out.
That wasn't the point of the story.
I'm sorry I didn't take it, but I just thought, well, to be honest, I was pissed. If you want to know the truth of it, I was pissed and staggered out.
Just to translate for Chris, that means he was drunk. It doesn't mean he was angry at me.
Mind you, I was in Aperture a couple of days ago looking at some photos, and I sort of discovered those ones in the photo stream that we took actually at the Bash, and I felt a little bit dirty. I had pictures of dolls in my Aperture line.
Dirty Don.
Have you had a book made up? Actually, what we should do is if you've got any photos from the Bash that are good, send them to me and I'll get a photo book made up of the Bash and we'll distribute it. That would be awesome. Well done.
That'd be fun.
Send them to BritishTechNetwork@gmail.com and I'll make them into a photo book and we'll get it made and we'll sell those. And it will put a little top on, you know, sort of 3-5 quid or something, and it'll go to an SPCC.
If you upload that book through iPhoto to Apple, will they print a book that has photos of Johnny Ive as a love doll in it?
Well, we'll soon find out, mate. We'll do one through them. We'll do the rest one through the people that don't charge a frigging fortune, though. And the other thing is, just to let you know, Russ Cluett has done all of the backing music and stuff for Downloads by Monday, so I've got to record the vocal over this weekend, and it should be in iTunes available for sale next week or the week after, we hope, so... There you go. What are you doing, Greenie?
I'm trying to keep my dog quiet.
Oh, right. Okay. That's very good. Yeah. Thank you.
So I did a bit of a paper ball that I threw in for him, and he's happy now.
How long have we been going? Anyone made any notes? 40 minutes, that'll do.
Since last Tuesday, I think.
Yeah, last story. iOS 6 message that's popped up in devs has suggested that there's a possibility that your ISP could end up charging you for the free FaceTime. Now, Apple made a big thing about the fact that FaceTime would be included in 3G packages and you could have it through. And now there's a suggestion that your provider may charge you money for it, not that you have it free of charge as part of your data plan. What do you think?
Typical. Not surprised. Is anyone surprised?
No, I'm not surprised. I'm on unlimited data with...
Not happy about it, but...
Mm.
I don't know if you get them over in the States, Chris, but I get unlimited data on the 3 network on my iPhone contract. So I can have 5,000 texts a month, 700 minutes of calls, and I get unlimited data. So this would be fantastic for me because I could FaceTime the wife, anyone that's got an iPhone will, don't, and it wouldn't be a problem. So I don't know if they're going to add a charge on the end, but this is looking like AT&T are the ones that are going to do it, though.
Yeah. AT&T.
It is going to be carrier specific, isn't it?
I've harped on this before on the show, and just the US carriers can just suck that one.
Do I have to bleep that? No?
No, I don't think so. Suck a fat one. That seems pretty tame.
To what you could have said.
It's not really what I want to say, but whenever I complain about how expensive my data plan is or anything, I just get a bajillion tweets from like Sweden and the UK and everything. They're like, you have to pay for that? That costs you extra money? I can't believe how much your bill is a month.
No.
It's just insane.
You are getting bent over in humps, Sunshine. You are really, really up the cosh. I mean, you look at, we did the thing last week you know, we've got free Wi-Fi on the tube. Steve Neighbour and I did a test on Wednesday night before I went on TNT. And the one test that we did at Oxford Circus, we couldn't repeat it, but it was 31 down and 32 megabits a second up for free Wi-Fi on the tube.
I mean, that's amazing.
Times have changed. I mean, I haven't paid my telephone bill in, well, a couple of weeks now. And it cut me off a long time ago. And I really don't miss it. No. I really do not miss it. Because when I'm at work, I've got Wi-Fi. When I'm at home, I've got Wi-Fi. There's so many Wi-Fi spots around that it really... I just do not miss it. So I could... And I'm so used to using Skype. Hold on. I'll just do another paper ball for the dog. I'm so used to using Skype on my phone, on my Mac, that it's more natural for me to use that now than a mobile telephone. And plus, the wife can't call you when you're in Sainsbury's, which is, you know, it's all good.
I've got to say, I keep one phone line in the house, and the reason I keep it in is just because of expectations of clients that they want to ring a landline. They don't like a business card that's only got a cell phone number on it. But it's utter bull. There's no reason whatsoever for me keeping it. And the thing is, what I've done is I've put it in the wall. I've done, we can do a *70 thing here where you can just forward it onto your mobile phone. And I know when it's mobile phone that's forwarding it because there's a delay after the initial pickup where you can hear it bleeping and then it comes through. And I get 2 calls a month out of that. So it doesn't cost me that much. It costs me £11 a month for the line rental on it, but it's an utter BS charge, no question. I seriously, if it wasn't for the fact that clients expect to see a landline number somewhere, and there's some websites when you register for them, they won't accept a mobile phone number, but my landline would be gone.
But I got the Skype in number, so I've got a regular landline number ish looking, you know.
Yeah.
So I've got Answerphone on there as well. What do I need a mobile phone contractor for anymore? I mean, why do I have to shacker myself for 18 months or 24 months and buy a phone for £200 as well on top as? It's been ridiculous, really. Times are changing.
Verso in the chat room says, is this just a way of the... Oh, wait, is this just a way of the telcos trying to get a bit more money out of us? Shock horror.
Right.
Good point. And she says, or he or she says, we ditched our landline 1 billion years ago, which I really don't. Mm-hmm. I just don't see that.
So I can't... If you think... I can't remember...
The earth was only still cooling. I just don't see that.
I'm trying to remember when I got rid of my landline, but I want to say around 2003.
Hello, Kelly Gimmett of TUAW. Thank you very much. You make up most of our stories each week. Will's gone. That's it. We've lost Will.
If you think that, Chris, you think you're being charged, I came back from a client last week. They live a couple of miles outside town, mm-hmm. and their broadband is phenomenally slow. So they decided they'd get a fibre line put into their house.
Mm.
So they phoned up BT, who's the main providers of fibre in the UK, and they said,
right.
Yeah, we can do that. It'll be £120,000.
What did they say?
They said, okay.
£120,000 to run the fibre to their house?
8 miles of fibre from the exchange in Cirencester to their house.
Right.
And then at which point, midpoint, BT phone contacted them and said, small mistake, we meant £180,000.
Do you think that's like a pro rata charge? If that's
okay, and the killer went up there to sort out some more installs for them. And I said, how's the fibre getting on? And they're like, bad point there. I said, well, why is that? He said, well, we spoke to BT. When's it going to go live? Oh, yeah, £180,000 doesn't include connection.
What? Is that a £40 charge on top?
No. Connecting the fibre to the new fibre cabinet in the Cirencester Exchange, £27,000.
Well, Virgin Media don't... They come to my house and they feed us, and they're the people that do the free Wi-Fi down at the London Underground as well. And I want them in the local village, Water Orton, because I want to move down there. I want to move everything down there and get a big garden and have a studio built in the bottom and that kind of stuff. But they don't go there. They don't go that far. And I said, well, how much would it be to run it out? And they've never told me how much it would be. But I'm thinking, if that's a BT charge, A, it's over the top. But B, if that's pro rata as well, it's only 3 miles.
Sorry?
They had to dig a what?
They had to dig an 8-mile trench to lay the cable in.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They've only got to dig a 3-mile trench for me. So, in that case, if pro rata...
Sounds like a bargain, doesn't it?
I reckon if we had a whip round down at the Digby, that'd do it.
Yeah.
We could do it. But that's got to come after the jet that we said we were going to buy last night in the big show. So, there we go. Because don't forget, if you, by the way, just as a quick support here for RIM, RIM are looking to ditch one of their two jets, the 9-seater Dassaults. They're really, really nice, by the way. I had one on Microsoft Flight Simulator. And they're $6 to $9 million is all they want for it, which is a bargain, I'm telling you.
There's some sort of connection between RIM.
Go on, Will, please.
Maybe I'll
the Johnny Ive doll.
No, I was going to say between RIM and Ars Technica, but I probably won't go there.
If you could get...
You son of a...
oh, man.
That was pretty funny.
This podcast and all the others that really, really shouldn't be given airtime whatsoever. Are brought to you by UK2.net. We love them to bits. They keep us afloat. They're excellent. They're stunning. And we couldn't do without them. There's loads of offer codes that you can use. If you go to the sponsors page, which is at the top right-hand corner, they'll give you all the offer codes that you can put in when you're buying it. And use the click-through for UK2 on our webpage, because we get kudos for it when you do that. Now, here's the thing. I've had a couple of emails this week, one of which said, how come we got all those codes, but we can only put one in when we buy something? You can't. You can put all of them in, so don't worry. The thing that you've got to do to make sure you put them all in is not enter your payment details until you've put them in. So when you've bought everything, put the offer code in and hit return without payment details, and the web page will update your basket to show the deduction, but it won't take any payment details, and it'll fault because you haven't put payment details in. Do it again with the next offer code. Do it again with the next offer code, and so on. And then at the end of that process, then put your payment details and then pay. And that's how to get all of the offer codes to work for you. And that's not me trying to tell you a way of cheating UK2. UK2 want you to have those offer codes. They want you to have those reductions. Some of them are 20%. There's 20% off domain names. No one does 20%. Everyone does 10, 15. So there you go. Please support UK2, because by doing so and using our click through, you will be supporting the British Tech Network. It makes a huge difference. Right then. Oh, this is going to be good. Have we got any cool things? Mr. McAllister, would you like to start us off?
Okay. I've got a really, really good cool thing. It's an iOS app that makes your jaw drop, and it's free. It's called...
Where's the port for that to control your jaw?
My jaw just dropped.
No. It's called... I think it's called Recce. R-E-C-C-E.
I actually
got it on my iPad. It's an iPad and iPhone app. I don't know if you can see this. Let me hold it up. It's a 3D interactive map of London. Oh, there's a delay on the thing. So, see, I can move it around.
Mm.
If I knew which way it was going, because I can't see it. Yeah, I've lost it now. But there we go. There's the London Eye. Let's see, slightly off screen. Let me bring it back. There's the London Eye. You can zoom in with a pinch, and you can actually rotate the screen.
And it moves.
It moves.
The London Eye's moving.
There's little cars and everything going on. And
it's not real, is it?
It is. It tells you where the coffee shops are. It tells you where all the sites of London are. It's a fully rendered 3D map of London.
With fake cars, thank God.
With little fake cars, yeah. But look at that. There's the Shard. No, you can't see, but...
Is it still finished?
Hey, I don't know. It looks as though it's finished on this one, actually. No, but well recommended. Really, really good. It just blows your mind when you actually... Oh, there's a plane going across. I've just seen a little airplane shooting across there. But definitely go and get it. It's free. It's unbelievable.
That's impressive.
It's not small things, isn't it?
That's impressive, Don. Yeah. You were happy 5 days ago when you got it, and now you've just been happy again. I like that.
No, it's not, you know, the... Well, in iOS 6... Allegedly, there's this new 3D mapping stuff that they're bringing out, but that's actually true 3D maps. This is sort of like an animated version. It's sort of like a rendered version. It's really quick, really detailed, and it's just amazing. But go and check it out. It's called Recce, R-E-C-C-E.
Excellent. Wonderful, wonderful pick. I was quite impressed with the moving London Eye there.
Yeah, it's good. Really good.
Downloading it now, Sister Reese.
It's only for London, by the way. They're bringing out other cities later on, but this one's just for London.
Good pick, sir. DHM, what do you have for us?
Well, I've been tweeting it out this week, and obviously we did have a chat the other week about the joyousness that is Apple's really rather half-assed attempt at podcast apping.
It's crap, yes.
Yes, it is. And it's just, it's amazing how you can switch apps and something you can think, oh, it's a bit crap, but it's, you know, it's Apple and it does the reel-to-reel thing and we all like that because it looks retro and things. And then you switch it. I've been banging on about Downcast all week, which is just, we must have picked it before. Have we picked Downcast before?
Probably, but it doesn't matter. It's your pick, as long as you haven't picked it before.
No, it's just like, oh. I'm
just going to pick the same thing every week.
How good is this? It just does the whole podcast downloading, finding, syncing thing just right. And you don't need to even... I've switched off the podcast syncing through iTunes with my phone now because Downcast's podcast discovery and syncing and managing which ones you've listened to and which ones you haven't is just a million times better.
Yeah, Kelly in the chat room agrees with you. Downcast, thumbs up. Yeah.
99, and that's not often that 1.99 can make your life better every single day, day after day, and this time it does.
I'm not sure it's quite that high up, but well done, mate.
There's,
yes.
there's people in Africa that are like living better lives because of Downcast.
Okay.
Fair enough. Mr. Forsman, where are you, sir? What have you got?
Just yesterday, I'm excited about this. But just yesterday, Otherworld Computing announced the availability of new SSD modules for the latest MacBook Airs, the 2012 models. Now, what may not know...
How does that work?
When the new generation MacBook Airs were released in 2010, Apple made these special SSD modules that were proprietary.
And they're welded to the motherboard, aren't they?
They're not welded.
They're not?
No. It's a little slot that's compatible with SATA, and then a little screw holds it in, and that's it. And so Otherworld Computing came out with the first replacement, and for a couple of years, they were the only ones making them. Although I've heard of some Asian companies that are now have their own versions coming out. But when Apple released the new MacBook Pros, they changed the connector. A different pin layout that's slightly different. The nice thing, though, is that it really improves the performance of these little flash modules, but it also meant that the ones that OWC were making wouldn't fit. So they just announced yesterday that they are now available in capacities of 480 gigabytes.
Yeah, hang on, mate. Don't do yourself down here because you're getting 480 gigabytes for $644, which on our exchange rate means that's a damn fine price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think what Apple's charging for, you know, its own factory upgrades are quite a bit more. I think the 512 gigabyte module that they offer, which only gives you actually 500 gigabytes total, is like $800. So it's, you know, you can save a little bit of money. And the nice thing is, too, that OWC is working on an external enclosure. So once you pop that old module out, you can pop it into an enclosure and reuse it as a little portable flash drive, so
I've just cut back to Don because Don is clearly going through billing and putting his credit card details in.
Mm-hmm. No, it looks impressive. I'd like to see how much what the speed improvements is like.
But you were ordering one, you know. No,
it is on the screen. I'm looking at it, but no, I haven't ordered it yet.
You've only hovered over checkout.
No, I'm just looking at the specs,
dude. Trusted. That's a good tip. Good tip, sir. Thank you.
Sure.
Greeny, what have you got for us?
Well, mine's pretty boring, but very, very useful. If you are a business who's moved your domain over to Google, and I found it a right pain in the bum to... So I had Mail, Apple Mail, and that was a bit of a pain in the ass when it came to sort of getting your mail in. I don't like it very much. And so the way I've been dealing with mail is to keep a Chrome or Safari window open all the time, which is a bit of a pain. For 69 pence, you can get MailTab, which will link into your Google address. And when you get new emails, it'll do a little ping. And you can just do Control and G is the shortcut. And it'll pop up and pop down. And show you all of your email coming into your Gmail account. And this is, I appreciate that if you use, like, from a personal point of view, you might have a Gmail account, which is one thing. But if you do it from a business point of view and you put your domain into to Google, it's absolutely fantastic. I absolutely love it. It's changed my life. Hi, you know my mate, right?
It's changed
my mate's life. Dad. My mate's dad said G-strings had changed his life. It was quite a few years ago now. He was a lovely man. And yeah, he said G-strings had changed his life. And for me, Mail Tab is the same as G-strings in possibly slightly different ways. But I don't wear G-strings. Anybody on the panel wear G-strings or not?
No, we're all men, you muppet.
Well, he was a man as well. He was a rock star, though.
No, G-strings are women.
No, he wasn't a woman. He was a rock star, and he wore G-strings. And,
are you talking about Elton John?
Well, maybe, absolutely. George Michael.
Ah.
No, the old pouch. I think it's worth going for.
Banana hammock, is that what you mean?
I can't fill it, Will, so it makes no odds to me.
What, your G-string?
I can't fill a pouch, mate.
Uh-huh.
Not anymore. Once upon a time, maybe.
They do make G-strings for men. This is a fact.
This is not a conversation I want to have.
Why not?
I think you need to just get in touch with your feminine side.
I want to get in touch with my G-string self.
Yeah.
I would imagine it's quite nice up the bottom. You know,
yeah, I really want something spring and abrasive, stroking me chocolate starfish. Let's move on.
You don't have that awkward panty line either.
There's absolutely nothing awkward about this conversation whatsoever. No, you're absolutely right, Chris. Thank you.
And also, you don't get skid mark problems, can you? Because I imagine the back part is so thin that you won't see it.
Why couldn't you just have picked a karaoke accessory again or something like that, you know? I mean, without coming out with your G-string knowledge.
Well, I didn't pick the G-string.
No, I know. But you've joined in, and you've joined in with a lot of knowledge without Googling, I might add. A lot of knowledge without Googling. It's the Google string.
Hey, I'm comfortable in my sexuality.
Okay, good. Before I do my pick, we've got Gazmaz with a fantastic video again, sponsored by TechSmith, who are the fantastic people who gave you all your pork and your beer at the bash. They're wonderful. And actually, Betsy, who is the lady who organised all that sponsorship for us, hasn't really got the idea of sponsorship, because to thank me for saying thank you to TechSmith on the day, she sent me a bottle of whiskey. She didn't have to say thank you. It's the other way around, mate. But thank you. I've got my bottle of whiskey and I'm loving it. Thank you very much. It's got my name on it as well and all that kind of stuff. So
can I say something about it?
Go on, mate.
What a lovely lady. I plied her with drink and everything that she paid for. And we had a good conversation and she was a really, really lovely lady. So just a quick personal thing there.
Absolutely. And the thing is as well, for all of you listeners that bothered not coming to the bash and thought, oh, no, stuff, it's going to be crap. It's going to be raining. I won't be bothered. Everyone that came who wanted it walked away with a copy of Camtasia 2 and a copy of Snagit. So, you should have come. TechSmith, brilliant. Listen to this.
Snagit sounds like something dirty and British.
Yeah. Listen to this.
Hi, everyone. Gazmaz here with a quick tip for the wonderful audience of The Mac Show, brought to you from the British Tech Network. This tip also comes with the help of Camtasia from TechSmith. So, here's a find of tip for you. I tend to use the list view a lot, and I also like using the arrow keys in this view as I find it easier than just using the mouse. Well, this tip hopefully will help you combine the arrow and command keys to open a folder. When you're in a finder window, you can easily scroll up and down by using the arrow keys, as you can see here. When you come to a folder, if you right-click and left click the arrow, this will open the folder in a hierarchical view, and you can go deep into your folder structure. And of course, you can go back out again, as you can hopefully see on the screen. Well, what if you want to open the folder you're on without seeing the folder hierarchy? Well, it's easy. Just by holding the command key and the down arrow, the folder you've highlighted will open just showing that particular folder without the hierarchical view behind it. To get back, you just press Command and the up arrow, and hey, voila. Hope that was helpful. That's all I have for you this week. As usual, have a great Mac week.
Thank you, Gary. Gaz.
He didn't say anything.
He did. No, honestly, he did. I had it here, Will. That's the magic of television.
The magic of television.
I'll explain television to you afterwards. My pick is Hover Bar, and it's absolutely gorgeous. It's a bar that fits on your table or it fits on your Mac, and it holds your iPad at a specific angle. And I've had it watching on the desk here, watching at free practice today for Formula One, and it is stunning. It's a great piece of kit. It's got a really long, bendy metal steel pole, which looks gorgeous, and it's got clips that hold your dock connector and that kind of stuff in, and it's got a clamp, which is very, very good, which either can go onto the back of your iMac in the picture that I'm showing there on the video, or it clamps onto a relatively thin desk very easily. The one thing that kind of makes you feel nice about buying it is the box, because the box is worth £70 on its own. It looks like a box that you get a really expensive shirt in or something like that, or cigars. And when you open it inside, everything is bent to exactly the right shape to fit in it. It's got a nice little glossy brochure that's gatefold. There you go. And it's got these little inserts that are made out of foam. Look, see, they're gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And it's got prescribed mint. There you go. See, it's an absolutely stunning, beautifully made piece of foam, if there is such a thing. And they give you something that's utterly and totally useless, but it just feels nice when you hold it. It's a piece of plastic with 12 South on it, the manufacturers. But when you've got it in your hand, it just feels like a beagle's ears. It's gorgeous. So there you go. Hover Bar. It's £70. It's not cheap. It's a bit of an ouch. But it works, which is a good thing. And the box, I'm never throwing this box away. This box, I'll be buried with it.
Can you put the picture back on screen, Ewan?
Go on.
No, just can you?
I know what he's going to say. I don't want to know.
Go on, Will.
Nothing. I'm not saying. Is it me or is it not?
It's you.
What's he going to say? Right, what's he going to say?
No, nothing. Oh, I'm not going to say anything.
Come on, Greg.
I'm not going to pander to those reviewers who say that I go for the childish comment, and I'm not going to say it. So, moving on.
I've got no idea what you're saying the childish comment is, because there's nothing on there that looks remotely childish.
I think it's a thing of beauty in every sense of the word.
It's a tad expensive, I think, but that's not what you're going to say, is it?
It's beautifully designed, isn't it?
It is.
To be honest,
No, I've got to tell you what. If you like the Bauhaus and the Steve Jobs-esque throes of design and so on, once you open the box, you kind of think, actually, I've been ripped off here, because it's actually a fairly simple thing that probably doesn't cost anywhere near this to make. But the box is probably at least £25 worth of the expenditure on the total product. Chat room's begging you to say it, mate.
No.
We'll never know. There you go. You'll die not knowing what Will Green was just about to say.
That's good, though, isn't it?
Yeah, probably.
Where can we get a hold of you, fellas? Mr. McAllister, please.
Right. You can find me over at screencastonline.com for my weekly iOS and Mac video tutorials, and also my blog, the macscreencastguy.com, and on Twitter as Don McAllister.
And you really, if you're a Mac user and you haven't subscribed to Screencast Online, you're stupid. Just do it, because it's worth every penny. And also, if you like British Tech Network and you value us, the line has been drawn in the sand, because every podcast from today onwards is thanks to Don for giving us the machine. It's very, very kind of you, mate, and I really am besides myself with gratitude. Thank you.
No worries. Right. Well, say no more about it from now on.
Talk no, not publicly, but I will be round. Next time you visit the house, my wife will bathe your feet. DHM, where are you, sir? You're on mute. That's where you are, Sunshine.
You see, Don, you see your recce app?
Yeah.
It's just You're flying across London. Have you turned the coffee bar layer on? It's like there's been an explosion all over the screen.
You can't,
a few coffee bars.
You can't see the street anymore.
They've got all the Olympic events in there as well, I think.
That's amazing. I'd never realised there were so many. It's ridiculous. Coffee bars all over the place. Yes, at Dr. Happy Mac on Twitter.
Good man. And next time you see Patrick, do tell him I was his first follower and you know his first follower.
I will.
And if he doesn't follow me back, there'll be trouble.
Right.
I'll be round there with a phaser.
Empty threads, as usual.
Mr. Forsman, where are you? No, he's only about 40 minutes drive away, Sunshine. It's not going to be hard.
Oh, okay. I'm at arstechnica.com, which rules.
Yeah.
So, bottoms.
Drop by anytime. And you can all hit me up on the Twitter at Forsmac.
Good man. Thank you. Agrini, where are you, sir?
Either BritishMac.com or PipeSmokerOfTheYear.com.
I would just like to add that Verso, a.k.a. Kelly from the Unofficial Apple Web League, is no longer welcome in the chat room. I'll be getting Sarah to ban her as soon as I can because she's put a link into some more 12 South products that are vastly overpriced, but I'm not going to be able to resist. I'll be buying them. Damn. You're never coming again. Never coming again. We'll be back again next week, however, and we'll have some special guests and we'll have some fun. And there'll be some Mac news, and we're just counting days down to the next bash, really. That's it. See you soon.
I still haven't been forgiven about the old thingy, you know?
What thingy?
The
same thingy.
Anniversary. the anniversary.
Ooh, is that still going on?
It's still going on.
I'm out of here, boys.
See you, Chris. See you next week.
See you, mate. Take catnip for Ewan, says iBookery.